Okay, again, we welcome everyone to the room. We have a debate right now between Mr. McCain, an ex-ordained minister, and our brother Wissam. The title of the debate is the Bible, the Word of God. We discussed the terms beforehand. We're going to start right now with the first 15 minutes of Mr. McCain. And please, again, keep an eye on the chat room so you know how much time you have left in this interval. Go ahead, Mr. McCain. Your first 15 minutes starts right now after you take the mic.
Again, thank you for this opportunity. And indeed, it is a pleasure and a great opportunity whenever we can discuss the Word of God with our fellow men. And I would like to begin by first looking at the person of God himself, because we're discussing the topic, is the Bible the Word of God? And in order to accurately understand if the Bible is truly the Word of God, we should first look at the person of God. And in Isaiah chapter 57, and in verse 15, I'll only read this one verse to begin. We read, therefore, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now this is a description of the Almighty God. He is high and lofty. He is far, far above the creatures, mankind that he has created. His ways are exceedingly above man's ways. His thoughts are as higher than man's thoughts as the universe is from the earth. God is high and lofty, and he inhabits eternity. Now that is a tremendous statement, because eternity spans the whole spectrum of existence. It goes all the way back into eternity past, which has no beginning. God never had a beginning. He's always been. And it also extends into the far reaches of eternity future, which has no ending. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows all things within the whole spectrum of eternity. He inhabits, he dwells, he exists in the whole realm of existence that ever was, or presently is, or ever will be. And this is the high and lofty one, the Almighty God, that has written to us the Bible. And now this is important, because this tells us that the God who wrote the Bible did not have, from a vantage point, the vantage point of man. Man, we really do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. Next week is beyond our limitations to know what exactly will take place. But God's perspective is eternal. He knows everything in the future as he moved in time to work in the lives of certain individuals to record, to write down his word. And so the Bible is an extremely valuable and of the utmost importance as a book, because it is written from an eternal perspective. And that's why we're not surprised to find in the Bible that there is language, that there is discussion of things to come. The prophecies that were hundreds of years or even thousands of years in the future when they were given. But even beyond that, there is discussion in the Bible of eternity future. of eternal damnation in hell forevermore, or of living eternally in the heavens with God Himself dwelling in His presence. And God writes these things assuredly. He writes them absolutely. He describes them and discloses them to us as one who is not guessing. He is not hoping or supposing that these things may come to pass. He is describing them as one who inhabits eternity and who sees into the future His people dwelling with Him. And also as the one who looks down into the pit of hell and sees the awful agony of all those under His wrath forevermore. And so God writes to man and warns us of things to come. Now, the writing of the Bible, many people like to say, they like to say, well, men wrote the Bible. And it's true that Moses was used to write the first five books. It's true that God used David to write some of the Psalms, and that God used Solomon to write the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and that God used Jeremiah and Isaiah and Haggai and Zechariah, these prophets, to record their particular books. All these things are true. And even in the New Testament days, God moved in the life of the Apostle Paul to record many of the epistles, or in the lives of John and Peter to write down their writings and the Gospels and so forth. Men truly did write the Bible. However, when people make that accusation, they fail to realize that God is using man as an instrument. You see, he used these men as a boss would dictate to his secretary. God dictated to these men. They could not resist. Even Jeremiah the prophet at one point said that he had decided to speak no more in God's name, and yet it was the Spirit of God within him that forced him to once again declare the terrible news he had to preach to the people of Jerusalem, that they were under God's judgment. And holy men of old could not resist. Let's read a couple of scriptures. One is in 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 16, where it says, all scripture. Now, what's in view by that statement? It is the whole Bible. It is from Genesis, the first book, until Revelation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, God breathed, God moved these men to write down what they wrote. And in doing so, the scripture, the writings of these men became set apart and different and holy, unlike any other writings in the world. Of books, there is no end. Man fills numerous libraries with his volumes of his own thoughts, things that come out of his own minds, and some of them have certain aspects that could be reasonable or could be true, but for the most part, man cannot be trusted. And so men write philosophies, and men write accounts of history, and men write all kinds of things under the sun, and yet none of man's writings are inspired. Not one other book in all the world, no other writing apart from the scripture, is God breathed. We also read in 2 Peter chapter 1 these words that are very significant to our current discussion on is the Bible the Word of God. We read in 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture, again the Scripture is in view, just like we read in 2 Timothy 3:16, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. You know, we cannot come to the Bible and read a verse and say, well, this is what I think it means, and use our own minds to try and interpret. Many men do that, and they fall into error because they are failing to obey this verse that says no Scripture is of any private interpretation. Well, how then do we interpret the Bible? Well, the Bible is God's book. It is His Word. It is His Spirit that moved that this communication be given to mankind. And who knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man that is within him? Likewise, no man knoweth the things of God saveth the Spirit of God. And therefore, for to properly and correctly understand any Scripture, we must allow God's Spirit to interpret and define His own terms. And this is done when we compare Scripture with Scripture, as 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14, I believe, instruct us. We find a verse and we search and see how God used the words in that verse in other places, and in this way God defines His own terms, and the Holy Ghost teacheth. God teaches, and we can avoid private interpretation. But going on in 2 Peter 1 into verse 21, it goes on to say, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. You see, there, that's one of the answers to the question. Well, men wrote the Bible. Men wrote the Bible. Well, yes, they did, but it was not by their own will. It was not by their own will. Well, how then could they have recorded the words that they recorded? Well, the answer is in the second part of the verse of 2 Peter 1:21. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, that is an entirely different story. This means what we are reading in Genesis, or what we are reading in Judges, or what we are reading in Ezekiel or Daniel, or in 2 Peter or in Revelation, is moved by the Holy Spirit of God. It is God's Word. It is God's Word. And therefore, when we come to the Bible, there must be respect and honor, and there must be a recognition of the fact that this book is far above any other book. And you know, as we do read the Bible, we ought to see that there is something very unusual about this book, because it is truly certain that God's thoughts are far above man's thoughts. And that's why some say, oh yeah, but the Catholics have the Apocrypha, and the Protestants have the 66 books, and so forth. Well, there's absolutely no concern. God's writing is very obvious, because He is eternal God. It will be far above man's writing. And that's why the Apocrypha books fail the test. It's very obvious once you begin to read those books that they are man-made. There is no moving of the Spirit inspiring those words, and it would be like me taking the daily newspaper and an article written in the Philadelphia Inquirer and trying to fit that into the Bible. It would be ridiculous. You would see immediately there is no harmony, there is no agreement, because these are man's words in this daily newspaper. Well, man can try and conceal his writing with fancy terms and religious references, and he can try to make it holy, but when it comes down to it, man's word will always be seen as man's word when it is put in comparison to the almighty, everlasting Word of God. Well, thank you for this first opportunity to share with you, and I look forward to hear what Sam has to say, and I hope to come back again in a short while. Thank you.
The most gracious. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Peace unto you, all of you. As you can hear me right when I read, it sounds good. Today, tonight, the topic is the Bible Word of God. It's the Bible Word of God. This very, very important topic depends on salvation for mankind. Christian, the salvation depends on the Bible because they believe the Bible is the Word of God. But let's be very specific when we talk about the Bible. We have to be very specific. Which Bible are you talking about? Which one are you talking about? Which book are you talking about? So next time, when you turn, please let me know. Are you talking about King James Version 66 books? Are you talking about Roman Catholic Version 73 books? Because the Bible is not all the same. It's not the same. It's not the same. One version has 73 books. One has 66 books. The Catholic version has 7 extra books. These books, the Catholic consider the Word of the Lord Almighty. They consider it the Word of God. They consider revelation from God Almighty. But the Protestant, they refuse them. They call these books apocrypha, doubtful, is not the Word of God. And they reject the 7 books. Now we are in dilemma right now. Because the Catholics, they claim they are Christian and they have book. These books contain 73 books. The Protestants also claim they are Christians and they have a book contains 66 books. And we are in big problem. Why? Because you read in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 18, Revelation of John 22:18, it says, "For I testify unto every man that hear the word of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plague that are written in this book." Now, as everybody knows, that the Catholic, they already add 7 books. According to this prophecy, they're going to hellfire. Why? Because they have to the Bible 7 books. Now, what about the Protestant? What about them? "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Now we found out that the Protestants also are going to hellfire because they took 7 books. They said the 7 books is not the word of God, and they believe it. They took it out. They refute it. So both of them are going to hellfire. So the Catholic had 7 books. The Protestant believed the 6 books, or refuted or rejected. In the first question, which book is the word of God? Second, let's talk a little bit about Jesus Christ and the New Testament. Everybody knows the New Testament, that Jesus, peace upon him, his language was Aramaic. His language was Aramaic. Jesus did not speak Greek. His language was not Greek. His language was Aramaic. So, Jesus' original language as Aramaic. Then, Jesus' gospel, the original gospel must be in Aramaic. But for every Christian, in every place in earth, his books translated from the Greek text. From the Greek text. So I would like everybody to know that the Greek is not the original of Jesus Christ, not the original language. It is translation. The original text is lost. Is lost. We do not have the original text of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not there. What we have is translation. This translation is not the original. It's not the original. It's just a translation. And every Bible, in every place in us, in any language, in Arabic, in Chinese, in English, in French, in Korean, everyone translates from the Greek. And the Greek is translation, is not the original. So I would like everybody to know that the original gospel is lost, does not exist. What you have right now is translation, and is not accurate, of course, because you do not have the original. So you can't compare the original with the translation. Third, the Christian, regarding the New Testament, they had two things. They had something called most ancient manuscript, and they have also ancient manuscript. Most ancient manuscript, 200 to 300 years after Jesus Christ. This is the most ancient manuscript. Ancient manuscript, 400 to 600 after Jesus Christ. Alright, so ancient manuscript, most ancient manuscript, 200, 300 after Jesus Christ, and ancient manuscript, 400, 600 after Jesus Christ. Okay. Fourth, the brother supports his case by a verse from the Bible. Let me read this verse. This verse in Timothy 2:3-16. And this verse, he claimed that every word from the Bible is inspired from God Almighty. No, I'm sorry, it's not First Timothy, I'm sorry, not second, first. Second Timothy. Second? Hold on a minute, please. Hold on a minute. Second Timothy 16. Hold on a minute, please. Give me 1 minute, please. I agree. Second Timothy 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction and righteousness. Every Christian in earth, if you don't know, I will teach you. I'm not talking about the preacher, but I'm talking about the other Christians. Everyone knows. Every Christian scholars agree that the first written scripture in Christianity history is the letters of Paul, the letters of Saint Paul. The first thing was written in Christianity is the letters of Saint Paul. What does that mean? It means that Saint Paul wrote his letters before the gospel as we know existed, before the New Testament existed. So how come this verse can talk about the New Testament? And the New Testament was not exist. Yes, maybe he was talking about the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was already exist, not the New Testament. The New Testament was not there. You following me? Everybody following me? Again, every Christian scholar in the whole universe agreed that the first thing both in written in Christianity was the letters of St. Paul before the New Testament. So how come Paul talking about the New Testament and the New Testament was not exist? Okay. The Bible itself testifies that the Bible is not the Word of God. The Bible testifies that the Bible is not the Word of God. I would like everybody to focus with me and listen. Look over here. In Jeremiah 8:8, how you can say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Behold, the false pen of the scribes turn it into a lie. Will you please a translation good? How you can say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Behold, the false pen of the scribes turn it into a lie. A lie. Jeremiah 23:36. It says, and the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more, for you have perverted, corrupted the words of the living God. You corrupted, you tumbled, you changed the word of God. And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more, for you have perverted, tumbled, corrupted the word of the living God. It's very clear. It's very clear. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 15:9. Matthew 15:9. In vain, they do worship me, teaching the doctrine, the commandment of a man. A man. Not God. A man. But in vain, they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines, the commandments of a man. Man, in vain. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines, the commandments of man. This teaching, this doctrine is not the word of God. Who said that? Jesus himself said that. Jesus himself. Now I would like you to go to Acts of the Apostles. I think chapter 3, verse 75. Hold 1 minute. Let me be sure of you. Give me 1 minute, please. I want to be sure it's correct. I think 757. No. Hold 1 minute. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just a minute. Give me 1 minute, please. Okay, let's go to the Bible, the Gospel one by one. Now, did Matthew write the Gospel of Matthew? Did Matthew write the Gospel of Matthew? In Matthew 9:9, and as Jesus passed forth from hence, he saw a man, listen to the pronouns, named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of the custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Is this the writing of Matthew? Matthew talking about himself in the third person. You heard the pronouns. And as Jesus passed forth from hence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of the custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Of course, it's not the word of Matthew. Absolutely not. Now, the book of John 21:24. This is the disciple which testifies of these things. I wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. John 21:24. I would like to know. Who is the disciple? Nobody knows. Who the people testify? Nobody knows. Is this John? If John said, yes, I am John, I wrote down this. It's not John. John did not say, I am John. Now, I would like the bishop, if it's possible, Who is Mark, the author of the book of Mark? Who is Mark, the author of the book of Mark? Second, of course, the first question, which is the Bible? Is God's word? The King James Version or the Roman Catholic Version? Second, who is Mark? Third, can you, without a, you tell me, without a doubt, with evidence from your own Bible, that Matthew write down the book of Matthew, that John write down the book of John, and I would like to know that Luke, the one who is, according to what you're saying, is a disciple of Paul, he wrote down the book of Luke, and I would like to know who is Mark. I would like you to answer all these questions in your next session. Mike is your starting point.